Welcome to our part two of the year in review for 2019. We're going to pick right up with favorite show, TV, or streaming, starting with our number two spot, and I will start with The Mandalorian. Thank you. The Mandalorian is an exploration of tone. It's got a lot of silent storytelling, a lot of myth building, an amazing protagonist who we don't really see his face at all, and it's all done with gestures and the way the head turns and all that fun stuff. There was really a Batman-like approach to so many sequences in this show that I just love. I mean, the fact that he's got a grappling hook and then his own version of Batarangs and the vibro knife.
Yeah.
I really love the POV storytelling. And one of the things that really stuck with me and one of the reasons I rank this so highly for me as my favorites is the fact that I can name each episode so distinctly and remember each element of that season. And yeah. And I was surprised.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's a good choice for me. This is the only Star Wars property that I've actually, or the only live-action Star Wars property that I've ever been super jazzed about.
Yeah. And so, as you alluded to, the music.
Oh, yes, the music. I love it. Well, I love Westerns, and this is like, this is even more Western than a John Wayne Western. I feel in moments, I'm just like, that's so goddamn Western.
Yeah. And I'm not a Westerns guy, but I'm into this.
Yeah,
for fair sure. Enough.
Fair enough.
It's destroying my pop figure collection, though. Lord.
Fight me.
Good Lord. Oh, I have so many pops on pre-order for this already.
Fight me.
Nice. Well, for me, number two was When They See Us.
Ooh.
This was Ava DuVernay's four-part, what is it, not a documentary, why am I forgetting the dramatized documentary.
Yeah.
Of the story of the Central Park Five. Yay!
Yay! That's that's definitely not a yay kind of thing.
That's why I did not join in.
Yep, so that was a very ironic yay. But yeah. It's a good...
It's a yay for the show. We'll go with that.
Yes, yay for the show, yay for the creative people involved. You know, not to mention Ava DuVernay, but all the actors did incredible jobs in it. It was absolutely heart-wrenching, and we'll never speak of it again, at least for a little bit.
Yeah. I need to see that show. It's hard material, so I have not gone through it.
Yeah, it's not really something where you're like, oh my gosh, let's throw in the next episode of When They See Us. And yeah. Yep, so, yeesh. Cool. But, yeah, good job. Kat, what do you have for us? Take us out of here, please.
I mean, I probably won't, but... so my number two is The Flash, and I mean, like I said, smaller pool of shows than comparison to you guys, but it was one of those shows that I definitely kept watching this year, and I would usually pull it up and watch it, like, every week, and normally I have a tendency to just kind of dip out on shows after a while, but this one I didn't seem to, so that's how I have to figure my, if I like something or not, is literally if I keep watching it.
Yeah, fair enough.
So, sad but true.
Yeah. Well, I have a feeling that we share a number one.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Number one for me is Primal.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Primal is my lovely piece of 2D animation from Genndy Tartakovsky. It is an exploration of theme. It relishes in the slow moments. It has some of the best and most gruesome action I have ever seen, animated or live action. That is no joke. It's beautiful. It's haunting. I've never seen acting eyes in animation as well as they are in this show. It's five episodes. It's tight. It's not really an ongoing story. It's much more about Fang and Spear and their journey just trying to survive. It was a fun watch, too, because they did it as a five-night event. So I went home every night, watched that recording as it was happening on my DVR, and ate it up. My wife even enjoyed it, even though she was like, it's too violent, but...
Yeah, I enjoyed that show immensely, and I almost had to stop watching it halfway through the last episode, because it just, I thought the show was violent before that, and then it just ratchets it up past 11 to 12.
Yeah. It's also crazy, like, it's definitely a fantasy story, so go into it knowing that it's not exactly a representation of our primal world.
Yeah, no, the physics don't necessarily add up, but they're still consistent within the show.
Yeah, and monsters.
And monsters.
And monsters, yeah. And poison liquids that give you super strength.
Yeah, apparently, whatever that is.
What the fuck is this, a superhero story?
Oh, you have... Primal, I best. The best thing I can say is you have no idea.
Yeah. So. That's true. Episode 3 is still for me number 1.
Such a good episode.
Yeah, I know, right?
Such a good episode. And again, distinct episodes. You can really point out what you remember from that episode.
For sure.
Cool.
Oh, well, I totally missed on that one.
I figure I know your number 1, though.
Yeah. What is it, Patrick? I think I... number 1 for me, also to no one's surprise, is Watchmen.
Yep.
Yay.
No one's surprised.
Amazing. Great.
That's awesome. Actually surprising that it's not on yours.
I knew Patrick would have it, so I saved an honorable mention for something else.
Oh my gosh, you've just been piggybacking off of Kat and I this whole time.
Oh yeah, I mean, you know, it's fine.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Parasites sucking our blood.
I almost didn't put Witcher on, but I figured that would be an oversight, knowing that it was going to be top of Kat's list. But,
no shit.
Yeah.
When we get there.
You know what's funny, though? Watchmen legitimately, for me, had the absolute best single episode of TV that I've seen in a long time.
Which was?
For me, it was a God Walks Into a Bar.
That one's amazing. That's episode 7, right?
Yes, or 2 8. Episodes from the end.
Yeah.
So,
that one's amazing. I think for me it's number 4 or 5, the one where she flashes back to Hooded Justice.
I'm pretty sure that's not till 6.
Is that 6?
I'm halfway through 5 because my HBO app keeps crashing, and I almost threw my iPad through a TV.
An extraordinary being?
Because 5, yeah, something, 5 yes. is Looking Glass, 4 the weird, crazy lady with the baby, and then, yeah, so it's 6 because I don't remember that.
Okay, yeah, I think it is. But, the Looking Glass one, too. So good. Every aspect of that show is just so good.
It worked.
Yeah. Really well.
Don't make a season 2. Please. Just let it be.
Yeah. I kind of wanted one just because it's so good and I wanted to see more. But the more I think of it, I don't need one at all. Just watch this a million times and try to figure it out.
analyze.
Yeah, seriously.
All right, Kat?
To no one's fucking surprise, my number 1 is The Witcher. To absolutely no surprise, none whatsoever. That was the one show. I've watched it 3 times now.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah, I thoroughly enjoyed that show.
I still haven't actually finished it.
Probably one of my favorite female characters of all the time.
Yennefer?
Yes. Yeah. A fucking raging bitch with a problem with authority. Oh, please. Yeah. If that's not right up my alley.
Visually, a stunning show, too. I think that, for me, the show suffered from a really poor first episode. But that's me.
Yeah.
I think when I was sitting down and thinking about it the other day, I think one of the reasons why they've been keeping names out of mouths is on purpose. Because I think part of it is they know that there's quite a few people who understand and know the material. And once you put a name to a character,
you know where the story goes.
I know where the story goes. Yeah. And so,
but I don't, and I need those names.
I think that was part of, is they're still trying to figure out how, because they from my little understanding that I have, they're doing fairly well at, keeping pretty close to the stories themselves. For the little that I know, I haven't actually read the first book, but for me, once I started picking, I picked up on who characters were pretty quickly, and that was because I already have, you know, obviously I know the material, but I think that's part of it. And the other part of it is it's also a little bit like the writer does that as well. He kind of keeps names out of mouth as well.
Interesting. Great series, though. Yes. Had a ton of fun watching The Witcher.
I've watched it like 3 times.
I want to rewatch the finale again because it's such a pretty sequence.
Oh my god. Yeah. And that's the fun part too, is like unless you have the realization, which I hope people will remember when they see season two, once you get the realization of what she did, it's fucking insane.
All right, well, we're going to move on to our favorite writer of 2019. Anybody have any honorable mentions in this one? Cool.
Writer, yes.
Okay. Sorry. Kat, then you start.
Half paying attention. Because I'm stuck on the Witcher's Tale. Anyways, my honorable mention is going to be James Tynion the IV. Because he writes Justice League Dark, which I've been reading, and then he's been working with Scott Snyder on Justice League, and it's like, he's like, oh, I'm on a book. And I'm like, okay. Here I come. Wait for me.
Cool, cool. All right, well, then what's your number three? We'll go right into it.
Oh, mine?
Yeah.
Scott Snyder.
Oh, okay.
It's another one. He's on a book. Okay. I'm coming. That's like my little niece says, I'm coming.
Yeah.
Coming.
Well, particularly this year where you're like hits for him.
Definitely Justice League. You had, I forgot that he did the Batman Nightfall. He's doing that comic with Image. I can't, the damn name is escaping me.
Undiscovered Country.
He's doing that. Yeah. I mean, he's proven himself to be pretty versatile. And then of course you had the last night, you know, with him finishing up his baby.
Yeah. Jesus. I forgot about that.
With Greg Capullo. And it's, he knows exactly. He's just a solid writer, and everything so far this year that he has written, I have enjoyed.
Cool. Nice. All right. Well, my number three is Scotty Young.
Nice.
I think what he did with Middle West, it just elevated his creative spirit in my mind. That book is just so good and so continually good that I. He won me over. He won me over as an artist, even over him as an as a writer, even over him as an artist. So,
That's understandable. That's definitely a solid choice. So.
Your number three?
My number three writer would be Steve Orlando.
Yay! Martian
Manhunter and his
Wonder Woman
work on Wonder Woman as well. The annual.
That's where I went.
And then. Doing the new run, so yeah, really good stuff. Go Steve.
Yay. I like Steve Orlando a lot.
Yeah, he's a really, really detail-oriented writer. Yeah, Kat? Oh,
my turn again?
Yeah.
All right, number two, Mark Russell.
Up.
Oh, okay.
Well then.
All right, well, my number two is Daniel Warren Johnson. Woo! Once again, taking an artist and letting him do what he does best, which is tell the stories that he wants to tell, and
doing whatever he wants.
Yeah, Murder Falcon just is such a tour de force comic book that doesn't on the surface make sense. And then we also had issue one of Wonder Woman Dead Earth, and it's just whetting the appetite for what he does next. I think he's so talented that he has the clout to say, I'm going to write what I draw, and that's it.
All the variant covers for his own comic, too.
Yeah. So cool.
Yeah. Well, that's definitely another solid choice.
Number two?
Number two for me would be my man Ta-Nehisi Coates.
Hey!
This one's kind of a cheat for me, though, because, I mean, Black Panther and Captain America are amazing comics, but also, he's still writing amazing articles for The Atlantic, and he also just published his first novel this year.
There you go.
So, he's kind of...
This year or 2019 this year?
2019.
Okay.
Excuse me. No, it's technically 2020 as we're recording this.
I know, technically.
Yes. So that would
Sorry
be...
Sorry to ruin that.
He published it on the first day of the new year. No.
I mean, that's...
Strike it home.
Yeah. That's a get or done moment.
Yeah. So he just continues to impress. There's a reason he's a genius. Or a MacArthur genius. Yeah.
Seriously.
Yep. Anywho. What about you, Kat?
I'm curious to see if we'll match up, but my number one was Donny Cates.
My number one was Donny Cates.
Oh!
That's what I was wondering.
Do you guys want to talk about Patrick's number one then first, and then we can back?
Yeah, you want to talk
Let's
about
go.
Mark Russell?
Hell yeah!
Oh my gosh, Mark Russell, so good.
Everything he touches, he's like, bing, it's amazing. Bing! He like signs
like
a comic
image.
Book and it's immediately better somehow.
I just imagined him as like a little fairy with wings and like a little like pencil shaped magic wand. Just flying around. Yep. All of his Year of the Villain stuff was absolutely awesome. I, like, haven't cared about that event at all, except when it's like, oh, Mark Russell one shot? Hell yeah.
He wrote it?
That's the only reason I feel like they made this entire event was just to give him a couple one shots.
And then he also had Wonder Twins and Second Coming this year as well.
Yep,
right?
Wonder Twins and Second Coming, which are both two of the most amazing comics.
Which is hilarious because I didn't read those, but I certainly read the shit out of the Year of the Villain stuff.
Yeah.
He's a funny, and well understood dude.
He had two comics in my
single issues.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. He is a master.
Yes.
Yes. Anywho, well, from there, why don't you guys talk about some Donnie
Cates?
It's the same concept. He wrote it. I haven't read it yet. So, yeah. But Thor number one, he wrote that. I usually have absolutely. He picks characters. I'm like, I don't give a shit about this character, and then I read it. I'm like, oh my god, I care so much.
Yeah. Can't actually read space stuff if Donnie Cates writes it.
It's true because all of his stuff has been space stuff, and I've read everything that he's written. Yeah, I guess Venom wasn't space stuff.
No. But that's the thing. It's Silver Surfer Black, Venom, and Absolute Carnage. I think that's a murderer's row of, like,
mm-hmm.
Here's a writer who knows how to write his mythology, and he's doing just that. So.
Yeah, I think we've made the analogy with him where he's just, like, in a comic book shop, and he's wearing a mask, and he throws a dart at a comic, and, like, what are you doing? And he, like, takes it, and he's like, thank me in 6 months!
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You want to try weird shit and let the audience go with you? Let's go to Donnie Cates.
Yeah, everything that he's written, I haven't had a bad word to say about any of it. Yeah. And that says a
check
lot.
Check out his independent stuff, too.
Because, like I said, what was it, Silver Surfer? I think I even read his, what was it? The Ghost, Cosmic Ghost Rider.
One of my favorites of all time.
Another one that I was just like, he's Mark Russell of Marvel. He's just like, ding! Yeah.
Come on. Totally, tonally different than Mark Russell.
Oh, yeah, he's really an utterly, way, but, like, in the thing is it's like, I don't normally like cosmic stuff. He writes all cosmic stuff, and I read all of it. So that should say enough for everybody.
Fair enough. All right, we're going to move on to our favorite artists of 2019. I have five in this category.
I got four.
Okay. Well, I'll go ahead and get it started then.
It's like,
I'm going to have some crossover on this one. Ian Bertram.
Up.
Okay. My number four is Trad Moore.
Hey.
You got up there? All right. Well then, your number four, Patrick.
My number four is Miss Mirka Andolfo.
Okay. Hey, we didn't cross over.
Her and her sexy wolves.
Oh, God. We're not revisiting that moment. I absolutely love her.
I figured I should bring it up.
Her sexy wolves. I've been reading her comics at work a couple times. And, like, people have just been, like, staring over my shoulder, like, that's really beautiful, like, beautiful stuff. I don't want to be attracted to that, but I am.
Yeah.
And then I read a couple of the Rubies. Not the biggest fan, but art in it was awesome.
Yeah. Honestly, like,
she's gorgeous.
For what the Ruby comics are, I'm not a fan either.
They have beautiful art, though.
Yeah, totally. I agree with that. Full force.
Yeah. Anywho, well, I guess number three is that right.
All right. There. My number three is Sean Gordon Murphy. All right. Never mind. Patrick, your number three?
My number three is Guru Hero.
Guru Hero.
Yay. I feel like I need to say that in, like, the cutesiest voice possible, because all their artwork is just so goddamn adorable.
I don't know what it is, but, like, you say his name, and I think of the artwork, and it's like, Patrick's a weeb.
It's funny because I typically don't really like...
It's like all these, like, little cutesy shit.
Yeah, it's funny because I typically don't like that sort of, like, super anime style, but it worked. Guru Hero makes it work so well. I don't know what it is. And also, you know, they're doing Superman Smashes the Clan right now.
Oh, God,
Which is one of the best books on the shelves.
Yeah.
And, yeah. Awesome. And they're one of the artists. And anytime they do something, I'm like, bink.
Yeah. Makes sense.
Yep. All right. Kat?
My number three is going to be John Romita Jr.
Ooh. I'm guessing that's mostly Superman Year One that you're,
He did it really pretty. Like, I'm not gonna lie. Like, that was a handsome Superman.
That opening sequence. just recounting the landing on planet Earth. Mm-hmm. Is
the little baby Jesus.
Yeah, yeah, seriously, little baby Jesus, super nice.
Yeah, not to be that person, but
talk about a classic artist, man. He can still go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think I can't remember what else he did, but I know a lot of the things that he did this year is like, ooh, pretty.
Yeah.
Look how pretty.
Yeah, he has a really good eye for sequencing.
Yeah, he's still one of the best storytellers in comics.
Oh, yeah.
Follow all of the stuff. All right, we're to number two, I think.
Like, yes.
It's so, okay, sort of what we're hitting.
My number two is Jorge Corona.
Ooh, nice.
Middle West. You know, if Scotty couldn't draw it himself, he found the one person that can be fitted better. And his starts and stops of his lines just freak me out every time I'm watching. His character designs, the environment design, the things that are laid into the background that you pay attention to and you maybe shouldn't. Like, yeah. You're just sitting and watching, like, what the hell is that back there? He's never hard to follow.
Was it the last issue or two issues ago when they get to the farm?
It was two issues ago,
and there's that giant devil splash page of the that still, to me, is just breathtaking.
Yeah. They do, like, he's crazy. I'm glad he's breaking out with this book because it's just, it's gorgeous. I bought another, he has an original graphic novel called Feathers that I picked up this year as well because I'm obsessed. I love the ink line, and he's amazing.
Yeah, that's, yep, definitely. Well, for me, number two is Jamal Campbell.
Ooh, ooh.
So this is for Naomi and Far Sector. It's amazing.
And a billion other covers all throughout different publishers.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I think these are the first two books he's done for DC, too, and they're both such breakout successes. And, like, I don't know what it is. Even though his style is somewhat cartoony, it feels more realistic sometimes than, like,
I think because he communicates in form rather than line. Like, he's really communicating with, like, the entirety of the spherical nature of people. So it makes you feel like they're dimensional.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. He really has a good, like, realistic sort of perspective on each scene, I guess, is a good way to put it. And, man, if Far Sector continues to be what it is, it's just gorgeous and beautiful and breathtaking. Yeah, you go, Jamal Campbell. I love you.
Awesome. Kat, you're number two.
My number two is Sean Murphy.
Sean Murphy.
The realization that dude, after reading, what was it, Von Fries? Mm-hmm. So I'm like, he's the only one who can draw this Batman, and I find that acceptable.
Right, exactly, because it was a beautiful book that was not drawn by him. And as a result, you're like, whoa, that Batman is not working for me.
You're like,
a good thing he's only in, like, one page.
It was just kind of like a ripping off of the Band-Aid.
He's a wizard. Like, what he's able to do with straight lines, especially, like, just mechanical lines on things, but making them feel organic, it's nuts.
Well, even the same part with it, and I mean, I could be wrong, but he looks like he does a lot of his I don't know how to explain it exactly, but it looks rough, but it looks great, and I don't understand in my mind how I'm okay with that, because normally I don't do very well with things when they don't look clean and stuff like that, but his I don't get it. I'm like, this shouldn't work, but it does in my head, and I'm okay with it.
He's a master of the quill pen too, like, that's just, it's every time anything Sean Murphy does, he's the one artist that he's on something, I will read it even if it's terrible. That's
a fair statement.
Nice.
Next.
We're at number ones or what?
Yeah, I guess
number
one. Alright, number one, my favorite creator in comics. He made the writer list, and he's definitely my favorite artist, and that is Daniel Warren Johnson. there's nobody who is better with a brush, and there's nobody who understands energy quite the way Daniel Warren Johnson does. Everything that needs to have power has power. Anything that needs to be quiet is a close-up. It's just a beautiful storyteller who just knows how to nail it in every way. And Murder Falcon is fantastic. Issue one of Wonder Woman Dead Earth. I cannot see what else he has in store for us, but I am there. I buy every cover that he does for those books. I will buy the main and variant for the entire run of Wonder Woman.
Nice.
Cool.
It's supposed to be four issues,
four issues, yeah.
Nice.
I thought it was three.
Cool. Well, number one for me then is Ian Bertram.
Yay!
His work on Little Bird is just phenomenal.
Creepy eyes.
The eyes. I know, right? It took me at least like the entire series to say, "I love your eyes." Now,
yeah, right.
But the amount of detail and like scratchy line work, sort of like similar to similarly. I mean, anything close to Sean Murphy. But.
It's a weird thing with Bertram's artwork. It spends a lot in the textures of things.
Yes,
it's like things have a feel to them, but it's all in the line. Like it's a textural line thing.
Yeah, I think I really love that. It's unnatural in the highest degree, and I absolutely love it.
Great. Yeah, I'm in my number five. So.
Yeah. So hey, there we go. Anyway, Kat.
My number one is Trad Moore, because somehow he made, I do not normally like shit that he drew, but stuff like that in that sort of realm, but oh my god, I love that for some reason, and I don't, I think it speaks volumes.
I own Silver Surfer Black twice now. I own it in individual issue forms, and in the special hard, or not hardcover, but oversized edition.
If that's one thing that I really want, it's that.
Yeah. This is an artist where I literally love, and I can't learn anything from him. I cannot analyze his artwork in a way that will help me actually learn. I literally just get lost in it and go, I don't know how you did this. And that's pretty much where he stands for me. And with this book, I just... Okay. I'm not normally even, like, a huge fan of your artwork, but you are absolutely outstanding. So.
Yeah.
Cool.
Oh, nice.
We'll move right on then into favorite ongoing, which Kat has four.
I think I have four as well. Yeah.
Well, Kat, you want to start us off with your number four?
Yep, my favorite. My number four, and this just has to be mentioned because, you know, they might not be listening, but, you know, at the same time, my number four was Fallen Angels. Don't take it away from me. Don't be an ass.
Oh. Yes.
Pretty much. Oh. So... I just had to figure that had to make its way in. But yeah. There's also salt with it, because I feel like I'm going to get six issues and that's it. And bye-bye.
Hope for the ongoing, right?
Yeah. But I get, I get New Mutants instead, so, you know, thanks!
Nice.
Next.
do you not have... Okay. Well, number four for me was Black Panther. Yay! Yeah, I've been a long-time reader of Black Panther, and... Just recently, especially over the last few months of this comic, it's sort of come together over this epic, giant, sweeping, sprawling galactic story. It's kind of bringing a lot of stuff together, both story-wise and also Ta-Nehisi Coates philosophy-wise. So
I don't know what it is, but for some reason I want them to put him back in his like 70s style costume. I would even just take an issue of it just to see what someone would do with it. I don't know why.
Evil Emperor Najaka actually has like the cape and
nice!
Stuff.
Oh, looks cool. Like,
so it's kind of a throwback, and actually it's kind of terrifying because it's really talking about how all these things can be used, all these good ideas can be, like, used entirely against everybody for the worst possible things. I'm not even going to try to get into, like, an explanation of the themes of it.
And Daniel Acuna does a lot of the artwork in this book.
Yes, that's the current artist on it, which is very, very interesting choice. His renderings of space are just beautiful.
Yeah. Cool artist.
Yeah.
Really cool artist.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. Yep. All right, well, I guess threes then,
okay.
Right?
Oh, yeah, is that where we're at?
Yeah.
Shit, where am I?
Three, number three, ongoing favorite.
Thank you. It's like there's so many numbers everywhere. all right, so my favorite ongoing series is going to be Supergirl. Mark Andreyko did a wonderful job this year of everything, and the fact that you've got fucking emo metal Supergirl right now is pretty damn fantastic, and I'm pretty much in. You have me at... She looks like she's from a Kiss concert, and I'm totally on board with all of it.
That's hilarious.
That's awesome.
As well as the fact that we got that kick-ass, I can't think of what it's called now. The cover
Oh, the lenticulars.
Thank you. That thing was awesome. And nice. In fact, in reality, she was not meant to be the other infected, but because she saved Superman instead.
There you go.
By grabbing the batarang.
Aw.
Yay.
What a good cousin.
Yay.
Exactly.
Good cousin.
I love you, and now I'm from a Kiss concert.
All right.
Well, how about you, Matt?
My number three favorite ongoing is a bit of a cheat and hope.
I don't think it's a cheat.
It is. It's supposed to be an ongoing graphic novel series called Witchy. Okay. And Patrick, what's your number three?
My number three is Wonder Woman. Yay! A lot of the similar reasons that I put Black Panther in the spot is just G. Willow ending her run on it was even more epic and amazing than I really ever hoped for or expected, and my expectations were already very high for a G. Willow book, and so it just ties this huge, epic, sweeping story together, both thematically and plot-wise, and everybody, it's great. Just go out and read the G. Willow Wilson arc on Wonder Woman. It's incredible.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Yay. Kat, you're number two.
My number two is going to be Excalibur.
Ooh. Oh, wow. Picking up some X-Men love here.
Yeah.
That was one of the ones they didn't drop it on, but, you know, there's still some saltiness because I don't appreciate being bombarded with a comic every 2 weeks.
It's tough. It is tough.
On your wallet.
Yeah.
But I really like the idea. I mean, The Witcher was my favorite TV show. I love high fantasy, so them mixing the whole mutant thing with high fantasy is not shocking, and I really enjoy it. So it's kind of one of those things where, thank you. I enjoy high fantasy. Thank you.
Yeah. You're welcome.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, my number two is Excellence.
Whoa.
Brenda Thomas and Kari Randolph, Image Comics. This was one of the best reasons to have a podcast because I needed therapy after each issue.
I never read so much into a fucking comic before.
Right? But it was like coming here and having those discussions with you two was just highlighted the experience so much more, and you know, finding all of the different elements of the story and the wizard families, it just worked for me, and I can't wait to see where it goes.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I'm going to pull a U on this one and piggyback off of your...
Figuring I would have this on here.
Yeah, because excellence is excellent.
It is.
That's really all there is to say about it. Excellence is real, and it is that comic book.
Yep, for sure.
Oh, does your brain hurt? Good.
It should. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, and I like how we kind of just figured out there's a reason, too, that your brain hurts for the whole issue. It's not just like, here's a bunch of crazy stuff. You're like, there's a point to the craziness? And you're like, well, of course it's so crazy, then. It couldn't be anything but crazy.
Yeah,
I just enjoyed it because it was the one comic of the year where you guys were like, well, you know, because of this. And I'm like, no, physics. Lights. Let's go.
Let's go. Pretty. Kari Randolph's art, too, is just a tour de force.
Uh-huh.
Seriously.
Yeah, I love everything about it. Yeah.
Need more.
Yep, cough, read Mosaic, cough. Cool. Well, number two ongoing for me was Wonder Twins.
Yay!
Did they come in ongoing?
I think so. It's not solicited.
Yeah, I think it's ending. Just its own thing. Yeah.
I mean, it might end eventually.
I thought it originally was like 6 issues, and then they made it 12.
Well, that was the theme of this year, was to say we're going to start as a miniseries and be an ongoing.
Well, it's already past 12, so.
No, then it's an ongoing.
Yeah. Okay. Great. Mark Russell and I'm forgetting that.
Stephen Byrne.
Thank you, Matt. More prepared than I am. But great. It just encapsulates Mark Russell's hilarious, poignant social satire.
Yeah.
In all of the great ways.
I want him to do a comic on Superman growing up. That would be fucking hysterical.
I could see him doing a comic about just about anything.
Yeah. Or Batman going through puberty, that would also
be. Oh god, I don't want to read that. I mean, I do want to read that, but I don't want to read
Teenage Batman?
Yeah. That was take my money.
I mean, in the Wonder Twins, one of the first things that happens is they capture the villains and the prison is full, so they have to take them to a Lex Luthor-run private prison where they then work as, like, phone call
assistant
people, so... And they're standing there, well, we captured the villain, but now they're working for Lex Luthor, so I don't know if we actually made justice happen. it's a very, very funny sort of existential superhero crisis.
That's good stuff.
Yeah.
That's good stuff.
Yeah, and still with all this silly cheese.
You're number one.
My number not one was Justice League.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I mean, that was a comic every time that it came out. I was like, read it!
Sixth Dimension!
Oh, that's another, another Scott Snyder make your brain bleed. And James Tynion, I always forget that.
And Jorge Jimenez, specifically, he co-wrote that arc, too.
Mm-hmm. So. I was like, yeah, it's fine, my brain's just bleeding, don't worry about it.
It's awesome.
Awesome. Next.
Yeah.
All right, well, my number one, and I've said it several times during this, is Middle West.
I'm shocked and awed.
Jorge Corona and Scotty Young. I think I knew about issue 3 that there was going to be... It was going to be hard-pressed for something else to feel as good as this did. Every issue, like, the issues that upset me because of what was talked about emotionally in the book and made it hard to actually read. It's ultimately a story about family and how broken family dynamics can be.
Yeah.
Read Middle West. It's amazing.
Yeah, you're like, yay, fantasy, fun. Oh, sadness. Oh. More sadness. Oh, wait, back to fantasy again. Yay.
Yeah, let's debate the cycle of abuse in this fantasy.
Yeah.
God, now that I'm depressed. Thanks, guys. Yeah.
Thanks. And then the current story arc, too, that's going on in it is, it's like, you didn't think this could get any worse?
Right.
Well, here you go.
Here you go.
Here, yeah. Hold my death. I mean my coffee.
Yeah, now we have child slavery involved.
Oh, yeah, and pink burning death.
Yeah, exactly.
Literally pink burning death.
Yep.
All right.
Ew.
Patrick, you're number one?
Number one for me was Witchy. Yay. Matt had this a little lower on the list, but for me this was so good. Ariel Slamet Reyes, I guess. R-E-I-S.
Yes.
Written and illustrated and colored.
Yes.
So.
There's my answer.
Yeah. Yes.
The artwork in it is just phenomenal and unbelievable. It has anime tinges to it, but
it reminds me, the cover reminds me of Steven Universe.
It's very Steven Universe-esque. Her paneling too is extremely cinematic, because even though it's a little bit smaller book than a normal size comic book, it still feels huge and sprawling. And
yeah, this is, you know, there are things that they do with magic, and they explain it to the reader in such a way that I want it to be true. I want to be able to find a really cool item and channel my magical energy through that and have that be my, like, totem. And the mythology of hair and how, you know, which, honestly, as an artist, probably was a cool reason to draw different hairstyles, you know?
Yeah.
Like, that's your genesis, and it's amazing.
Yeah, that the length of your hair determines your... magical powers. Yeah, it's absolutely phenomenal, and they need to put out more volumes of this, even though they haven't been solicited yet.
Yeah, this definitely needs to be, I need more, especially that this is a story that only gives you a tip of the iceberg of where the adventure can go.
Oh, yeah, and the world building is huge and purposeful, and just great, just absolutely fantastic.
I might reread this today. I'm in that mode. It's so beautiful. She's so stunning and wonderful.
Yeah.
All right. Well, our final favorite category is favorite limited series.
Yay.
Kat has five.
I do have five.
So we'll go ahead and let Kat start with number five.
Batman Universe.
Oh!
Can't forget about that one.
Yay!
The most Batman-y thing I've read in a long time, and it's written by Brian Michael Bendis. Nice.
Let's not talk about Nick Darrington's artwork in this book. Ugh. The two-page spreads of action sequences were
just
unreal.
Him running around through shit is great.
It's so good.
It's like, this is so Scooby-Doo-esque.
And a weird fucking cosmic story, too.
That was an odd.
Love Batman Universe.
It was great. The sheer amount of gadgets he had.
That's awesome.
I'm glad you brought that up, because it should be in my honorable mentions. And
I feel like there was a shark repellent joke in there, too.
There was definitely a shark repellent joke in
there.
And
the funniest part is they made another one in Harley Quinn. I just had to bring that up, because it was fucking hysterical.
That was awesome.
That's awesome. Oh, man, Batman Universe. Cool. Yeah, that's going to be a sweet one.
Yeah.
Kat, you're number four, then.
Get to go again?
Oh, you have a four as well?
Okay. Yeah, I got a four, too.
Cool.
Oh, I go again, then?
Yeah.
House/Powers... You know, House of X, Powers of Ten.
Nice.
The two series that were one.
And the two series that are one that makes things confusing. I mean, honestly, this was a great story, but I feel like the ball has been dropped on the after part.
I feel like
it's been dropped so hard.
From a retailer's perspective, this was maddening because so many people were picking this up that it was impossible to get on top of.
I mean, honestly, the Scotty Young covers, I have managed to get my hands on all of them, but they made, like, the best choice letting him do covers for that, because, you put a capital letter of your name, you just put the first letter of your name on everything.
That's how you be a villain. I mean, like, come on. Yeah, this was an absolute fantastic joy. It was great to talk about here. I have never been more excited about comics coming out weekly, which is something I absolutely hate.
That makes two of us. And at the same time, that was very nice of you, and at the same time, I'm like, well, should they have done this with Doomsday Clock?
That's the only weekly comic I've ever picked up.
It's got to be in my conversation for, like, best, like, top 10 science fiction stories of, like, the past 10 years.
So, oh, easily.
Brain bleed. Yeah.
Especially hard sci-fi, too, which superhero comics tend to lean sci-fantasy.
Yeah, this,
and this was hard,
hard sci-fi. And it's kind of one of those things where it's another shocking deal for me that I enjoyed it so much because it was such a hard sci-fi thing. And that's normally, I'm like, eh.
Ah. This and Blade Runner 2049, we're good.
What is life? Do I exist?
All right, Patrick, you're number four?
Number four for me was Superman Smashes the Clan.
Hey! Yeah, I guess you barely skirted in the rules on that one.
I know, because the second issue just came out. I know, I was actually thinking about that. I was like, yes, good.
You're like, ah!
But,
of three.
This is the only Superman book that I've really been super jazzed about, I feel.
Confession, have not read two yet, but I loved one. Where
spoilers, super, super good.
Super good?
Yeah. Hey, see what I did there? Nice.
That's fine. I'm good now.
Yeah. Guruhiro on the art, which made it, And then Jean Luen Yang has always been one of my favorites.
Tackling racism in a way that kids could read is incredible.
And not just cut and dry either, like really complex ideas of sort of nurture versus nature. And there's a line in the second one though that's so perfect. It's like, see, my grandpa says that all Chinese are sneaky, but my dad says they're hardworking and brave, so obviously my dad's right. And Roberta's like, maybe we're not all one thing.
Yeah.
So that idea of, like, positive stereotypes and stuff like that, it's great.
It's great. That's awesome. Cool. Well, Kat, number three.
Number three is Superman Up in the Sky.
What? It's almost like you liked those giant books.
The freaking author's freaking writer swap on that. I was like, how can Tom King do this? Oh, okay. All right. Well, now that he's made me contemplate one of my favorite superheroes, and I'm pretty sure no one's really sure, you know, what he did in that one scene, but no, it's fine. Yeah. Everything's fine. I was like, this shows that Tom King can do things.
Tom King can do many things, but this is a great mini series.
Yeah, he can do many things. It's just don't give him an ongoing. Just leave him. Just you get 12 issues, bud. You write good like that. Yeah. You write good like that.
You write good now.
You do great there. Thanks, bud.
Cool.
Nice. Well, all right, then I guess that's number threes then.
Yeah, that was your number three, right?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
My number three then will be A Little Bird.
Up.
All right.
Me.
Patrick?
Nice. Number three for me would be Martian Manhunter.
Yay!
Yeah, so good.
Another one where I played Patrick. Gosh.
Oh, man.
The use in this episode.
I know.
Yeah. I'm terrible. No love.
Lots of love. Too much love. I couldn't find enough space for the love.
Fair enough. Yeah, Steve Orlando and Riley Rossmo on this. Just a powerhouse. And the story, everything about it is just amazing in detail. And all the flashbacks we get to his life on Mars before it's destroyed. I think this is like the most we've actually seen of pre-apocalypse Mars.
All new mythology, really. So.
And it's so well done. Like, what an actual society of shape-shifting telepaths would be like is so interesting and so intriguing. And that's one of the things I love in spacey comics is when they don't even bother to go, like, semi-Englishy sounding words and just straight up, like, no, this is like Kalak Kaleem Balar.
Exactly. It's like I guess that's how you say it.
Yeah. As long as it's as long as the thing is the thing, then
the thing is the thing.
Yeah.
This is definitely a theater of the mind too, where you feel like you are being spoken to within their telepathic thing. So
yeah, and and it's so silly that he got away with a full frontal sex scene.
Yes, he did.
In this book, just because it's too weird to even describe.
Oh, Riley Rossmo, you are amazing.
Yeah, that whole sequence still gives me slight nightmares, but. Yeah. Oh, anywho, Kat, what do you have next? Number twos.
For number two, I have Harleen.
Whoa. Ooh. Nice.
Okay.
I was not cheating because I got.
No, I think all three are done.
Yeah, all three done. I actually haven't read number three yet, but just the two, like, this is probably one of the most fucked up Harley Quinn stories I have ever read. Because the sheer amount of just, like. Number one, they're completely and utterly just, like, upfront about the straight up mind manipulation that she went through and the abuse that she's going through and stuff like that. And. It's one of those comics where I'm just like, they're like, I want to be like Harley Quinn and Joe. Just like slap him in the face with it and run away. Or just slap him in the face with it, read this and shut the fuck up.
Yay, Fontaine.
Yes, he did an amazing job and his artwork is amazing.
Yeah, that was a really good book. I honestly haven't read the second two, but issue number one was really good.
The second one, I mean, just the panel that he did with the smiling teeth. In the blood when he's beating the shit out of Batman and she's like giving into that crazy.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, awesome.
Yep.
Number two.
Yeah.
Murder Falcon. Daniel Warren Johnson. Heavy metal, heavy emotions. Just read this fucking book already. I don't know how many times I need to talk about this. Yeah. Pick it up. It's 8 issues, 1 volume. Just read the damn thing. Anyway, Patrick.
Just read the damn thing. I'm
sorry, guys. Don't look at me. It's like okay. That. It's okay. You didn't give enough time.
Fair enough. Cool. Number two for me, and we've already talked about this ad nauseum on the show, is Gwynpool Strikes Back.
Yay! Ooh, that was great.
What a great series. Super technical, both writing and artistically. Hilarious. Pretty point, like, oddly poignant there at the end, as Gwynpool tends to get. But, anywho, yeah.
Well, why don't you go ahead and do your number one, Patrick, because I'm sure Kat and I have the same one.
Probably.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'd bet money on it at this point.
Might be in front of me.
I think it's slightly different. I'm not very up in any way, so... my number one of the year was Little Bird.
Little Bird.
This comic is so good in every single way imaginable. I love literally every aspect of this, from Ian Bertram's art, obviously, to Darcy Van Poelgeest's world-building characterization. The cinematography of the book, is their use of extremely small, wide panels, it's just absolutely phenomenal.
And it's mind-melting and crazy and the story about legacy.
Yeah, and, like, the idea of, like, revolution and changing the old guard versus the new guard. Change is the only constant kind of thing.
Chef's kiss.
Yeah, after I, you know, after I had my duffa moment for each book and then thought about it afterwards, I'm like, no, that was amazing. Yeah. So while reading it, you're like, don't know anything that's happening. I know it's happening, but...
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right.
Anywho, well, why don't y'all take it away then?
Silver Surfer Black.
Shocking.
Donny Cates, Trad Moore, the journey that Silver Surfer takes when he falls through a black hole. And boy, is it a cyclical journey that I don't want to spoil for people, but.
Fucking read it.
Fucking huge. Huge story. Cosmic awesomeness.
It was a lot of them. I am the start of everything and the end of everything. It's yeah. Just like, okay.
Getting into Galactus's mindset as he's being reborn as Galactus from being Galan, and I don't know how to describe this book to people. Like it is like the use of the board too, as it becomes a dragon, a drill, a lance that fights alongside the Silver Surfer. The Silver Surfer giving up his internal light. I don't know how to describe this book to people. It's cosmic gods, literally at the beginning of the universe. When your supporting characters are null, like the Master of Evil, essentially the devil. Mm-hmm. Galan, who is Galactus, and Ego, the living planet, you're on an entire realm of storytelling that is beyond my comprehension.
Yeah, it's one of those stories where it's like, well, you know, it's cosmic. Okay, I was wrong. Yeah. And it's kind of I think that was the start of realizing that I'm like, oh, Donny Cates wrote it? Hand it to me. His artwork, like normally stuff like that, I'm like, this is too much for me. I don't enjoy the sheer amount of color in my face.
Yeah.
And then this one, I'm like, okay, did you put drugs in this? Because I really like this. What the fuck, man? Yeah.
Seriously, you feel like there's acid on the pages. You know?
I just want to talk to him. Be like, all right, everyone's probably asked you this, but were you on acid when you did this? Because I feel like that's the only way possible.
Yeah, it's the only way you can get these crazy visuals. Also, every single issue was a perfect issue onto itself.
Yep.
Works as a 5-issue run, works individually.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Nice.
Can't really do that. And this was like the one comic I made sure that I gave to a coworker, because I was like, he's like, oh, I like Silver Surfer, read that.
Yeah. Please,
read that. I just like threw it at him. And I bought him all the issues, so.
Yeah. Nice. Wow. Yeah.
I have a lot more rereading to do today.
I know, right? I'm looking at all these things like, how much money do I have to spend right now?
Yeah.
Oh, geez. Well, hey, that was fun.
Cheers to 2020, then? I mean...
I hope so.
Yeah.
I mean, I know right now my comic pull list is, like, baby and cute. We'll see how long that lasts.
Right.
Yeah, I know, right?
Wait till the miniseries get announced.
I was just like, look at it, it's so cute. And it's like, hi! Until it grows into a giant monster that's like, give me your wallet!
Yeah. All right, well, cool.
Yeah, I feel like comics are like tribbles.
Yeah, they just...
Yeah, they're so cute when there's only one or two of them.
God.
Anyway.
Who gave that goddamn... Who gave it water? Who gave it food after midnight?
That's funny. Oh, jeez.
All right.
Anyway, well, with that, I guess let's sign off then.
All right. Happy New Year!
Yay, bye. Bye.